But I have learned way more by reading, listening, going to seminars. The privilege I had to coach basketball, when I was coaching basketball, I read one book a month on basketball. Some would say, and sometimes, yes, it was repetitive things I even read, but I was enhancing and reflecting and reinforcing my mind.
Hello and welcome to Weary Dads. This is part two of our series on personal growth. First part, we talked about the spirit, growing your spirit. This part is about growing your mind, focusing on education. Part four, we'll focus on your emotions and your body. And I'm not going to lie, of those four, the one that I feel most uncomfortable talking about is your body. Yeah, it's not like I'm like a perfect physical specimen over here, but really excited about this topic today. When we talk about educational growth, it's really important that we keep in mind our goals and our purposes, and that we are intentional about it.
Well, we use the word intentional about spiritual. I think you got to use the word intentional when you talk about your mental. I think you need to use the word intentional about your emotion, because your emotions, that really what you're dealing with emotions is having an understanding of who you are. I always say this, I think emotions are affected by being God-aware, self-aware, other-aware, and the person that really gets in trouble is the one that's unaware. Okay, so your emotions, because your emotions impact who?
Oh, you and everyone around you.
Everybody, right? Including you, right? So however you want to, I think you need this word of being intentional, even in your physical, which, PJ started off this, and every time he says it, the biggest challenge for me has always been taking the time to invest in myself physically. And it's a sin. I mean, it's just a challenge. And so now walking every day is important, and I do light lifting. The biggest challenge is making sure, we had Five Guys yesterday, and everybody on the podcast now says you can't eat Five Guys to talk about this, but you can if you. I got it in a what?
A lettuce wrap.
And it just tells you,
sad,
folks.
Let's be honest.
And literally, I was working while I ate it, and this drives my wife crazy that I don't stop for lunch. Thanks, Bob. Eating this while I'm working, and I'm eating it with basically my fingers because I didn't have a fork, and I was on a phone call, and it's just not the same without having those two pieces of bread, but I don't need that bread. Now, with that said, intentional in your mental growth, that is educating your mind and investing in it. And that's investing in it time-wise, investing in it effort-wise, investing in it maybe even cost-wise.
Yeah. That's something we didn't say with the spiritual side of things, but people do not see personal growth as a worthy investment. And honestly, you are your biggest asset.
Yeah. So you need to go back to the first episode. And I said, I have this thing, Keros, and it's like a journal. And in that journal, I write in every day what I read from scripture, and then I write in three things I'm grateful for, then a prayer, which is going back to your reflection thing, which is really good. And then I write down, how will I respond today? That is like three journals for like $90. To me, it's worth every penny, because I'm mentally, emotionally, and spiritually connecting with my God, who is changing my heart, who is pushing my mind, which will give me the impetus even to take care of sometimes the physical when I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
So there's got to be, it's got to be intentional, and it's got to be invested, and because it is important.
Yeah. And I think as we approach this whole idea of mental or educational growth, growing yourself personally, I think there's kind of two different categories here. There's particular skills that you can develop in yourself, and then there's a kind of just general range of knowledge that it's just good to grow in. So And I don't know if that necessarily makes sense right up front, but like I taught myself to program, and there's a specific plan that you do coming up with that. But then I read The Economist Espresso every day, and I think that's a very healthy practice just to keep up with what's going on, but not to sink myself into it, right? I mean, there are two things to that. One is it's easy to get caught up in negative news, and it just will overwhelm you, which is why we go back to like the whole gratitude thing. But also the quality of the news that you ingest is very important, and the time that you spend on it, right? So as I'm looking at The Economist Espresso, it gives me, for the most part, like they're very open about their bias. They focus on free trade, free movement of ideas. That's their impetus. And knowing that, I can sift through their articles reliably, for the most part, right? Like I'm not perfect. But then you compare that to something like coding. Coding is, all right, I'm going to take something, and I'm going to, one of the most important things, we both, I think, read Ultra Learning.
Yep.
You find a very concrete goal, something that you want to create, you know, okay. Like with coding, like what's the program you want to do? So for me, it ended up becoming WordPress sites. And then you work backwards and break it down into smaller parts. Now, I'm not a huge Descartes fan, but he's the one who really pushed this and made it part of, like, that's why science exploded. He said the way that you really learn stuff is you break it down to its smallest parts until you can understand the little parts, and then you assemble it back.
So do you understand what you just talked about right there from my perspective?
Yes, no, you but do. I'm excited to hear.
Yeah, you're going to understand.
Yeah.
So I walk into 100 gyms a year working with right. nations of coaches.
Okay, yeah, I know where you're going.
And they're
going
to go, this is the offense we run. And any good program has broken down specific reads and specific skills and specific parts to that play. And they work at it over and over and over. In fact, that's why motion, the statement was to teach them how to play, not to get into rhythms. And there's now a scenario where guys are even given different freedoms, different styles of play, and getting more opportunities, you know, the analytics getting more shots up, you know, you're going to get, if they're better shots. Long story short is that it's all broken down into parts. So I think that's really good that you said that, because you got to break things down. You do.
Yeah. And if you want a specific skill,
sure.
And I think you could even look at this in terms of how you train your body, right?
Yep.
Like you want to train certain muscle groups. You don't want to overtrain certain muscle groups. Like we've all seen guys who skip leg day.
Yeah.
Which, like, for me, that's not a problem because I skip all days. But but they skip leg day and they're just their arms. So you develop certain skills but without developing the rest of you. And that's where, like, that general side is more like core strength, right? So you develop very specific skills, and that's something you can continually add over your lifetime. One thing I'm trying to work on now is drawing. And it's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit with moving, but, like, it opens up different parts of my brain, and that's really good. But that's a specific skill I'm working on. Versus, like, just... And this is something I did with my son, and it has the worst name in the world. So there's a German word for it called Bildung. Bildung. And it's this idea of personal formation.
Mm-hmm.
And that personal formation is not, it's not just that, like, it's not just personal growth as we're talking about. It's someone who, it's the idea of creating a person who is both ethically conscious, community conscious, or socially conscious, and historically conscious. And that's where you could learn. When I was younger, I used to read everything I could read about the Punic Wars,
yep.
Which most important and in history. But I've had a teacher who said pubic wars once. Yeah, that's not a good day as a teacher. So and I learned about this specific time period, and that's really useful. But it's also good to read, and they always have biases, right? But it's important to read overviews of history so you can put everything into perspective. And so that kind of person who has both those particular skills, you know, you develop your particular muscle groups, and I'm going to use that a lot because I think our mind is a lot more like a muscle than we think. And a person who also develops core strength so that they are able to just maintain their body in general. It's very important that you are well-rounded as a person so that you are able to, and this goes back to, I have very strong opinions on philosophy of education. There was a time where you went to college to become a better citizen, a better person, a better citizen. And then John Dewey said, no, we want to train people so that they can do their job better. Which sounds similar, but it's completely different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's about,
that's
like,
very different.
Yeah, like, are we training people who can understand and vote well? Not because they understand the specific issues they're voting on, but they understand what their duties are as a citizen, and they are good at critical thinking? Or are we training people who can get out and they can go and be carpenters? There's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a carpenter.
Or any job.
But they're two different types of education.
No question.
And it's important to have both.
Yes. It's interesting you're saying all this because I'm reflecting, and I've not read this book. My brother-in-law, Lenny Parker, gave it to me. It's called Range. It's talking about how people that are gifted outside of just one area, how they make more impact in life, which to me, I want to read the book and encourage you because I don't know one thing well, and I don't know how much I know of a lot well, but I do feel like I have been because of this. We have, as a family, had... I've always put a premium on books, and because of that, we have like 2,500 books in our library. We talked about that on the previous episode. But I think it's imperative that we inform ourselves, and many would say on this, well, you don't need books now. We have the internet, and there's truth to that too. But here's the problem. Okay, we live in the information age. We have more information than we've ever had before. This should improve the mentality of everybody. And the truth is, it doesn't, because we have a lack of wisdom and discernment. And let me carry it forth with what you said about being a good citizen. You can't watch the news or listen to, in my opinion, opinionated podcasts, radio, whatever it may be, that are pushing their own agenda, not society, what's best for people. Like, and we call it the scriptures. Okay. But there's such a challenge there. And so our minds are, I don't know, just distracted, discouraged, demonized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a warping that happens. And I have this here. Actually, this leads right into a point I really wanted to hit, because this quote has been really impactful for me. There are a lot of good books that everybody reads, and I think you should read the ones that everybody reads, right? Like The Power of Habit was really big. Seven Habits of a
Highly Effective People,
really important. But I remember, and I think it was Haruki Murakami, who's a favorite author of mine, said, if you read the same books as everybody else, you'll have the same thoughts as everybody else.
No question.
And there is... I think it's important to have the same thoughts as everybody else, and it's also important to have different thoughts from everybody else. And it's important to find, and something that I have gone out of my way to do, not exclusively, but sometimes it's good to find a weird book. Sometimes it's good to have a weird hobby, not just to distinguish yourself, but to give yourself an outlet to be outside. And that the reason when I say that, outside your bubble, outside your pocket of existence. And that's what you're talking about here, right? One of the biggest problems we have, it's a big deal, right? They call them echo chambers. That's what social media becomes. Because of algorithms, you see the stuff that you like, and they know what you like, so they keep sending it to you. And so what happens is the news that you want to see is what you see. So you're not challenged. The news that you want to hear is what you hear. You are not challenged. And if we know anything about growth, growth starts with being challenged.
Growth starts with being taken out of your comfort zone.
Right.
And so thus you are challenged, and you got to think outside the box. And so I can't remember the word you used a few minutes ago, but was it weird books?
Odd books. Yeah. Weird works.
I think you need to be really careful, and I would encourage you, even as you say that, to do, I don't know if they're odd or weird, they're just different.
Right.
And what we think is different, what people see as different, is weird.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Oh, and that's a little bit of a polemical thing where for us it's odd and for other people it's normal. So for me, what that means is I need to read it. I want to. It's a collection of short stories by a guy from China that's pro-communist. And I'll be honest, I'm literally going to read it. I'm not pro-communist.
Good.
Yeah. But I look at that and I'm like, this is going to be something that pushes me. And I'm going to have to reconcile and deal with, like, I mean, that's a completely different view of existence.
Right. Well, what it does is this. You can't refute somebody unless you understand what they believe.
You can't properly refute them. Yeah. You do damage to yourself when you create straw people.
Right.
Yes. The classic logical fallacy of, like, of a straw man, where it's like, well, this is your idea, and you create something that's completely fake.
Well, what's really funny, even in we're talking about mentality here, and I do think this parallels, because this will affect your mentality. If you watch the news and you watch either side, okay, which you can define that how you want to. I think we all know there's two sides. They will choose one story, because stories are what catch people's hearts.
Right.
And they'll choose the one story that is often the hybrid. It's often the single most different, right? Whatever that is. And it's the one that pushes their agenda.
Right.
Instead of, like, okay, and it's a struggle we have in our country that we can't come together and seek reconciliation, and we can agree to disagree and show love. And I have so many conservative friends out there that are going to jump on me for saying that, but I'm going to go, I'll get jumped on by the other side and the liberal friend. There has to be a happy medium of loving others, okay, and putting others first. And then it comes down to, you know, for you and I, it's our scriptural premise of the Word of God is truth. We just got done doing that episode.
And being in the middle isn't necessarily the answer either. Like, you can't, like, I think there's truth to be found where that'll push you one side or the other. So, like, because sometimes people are like, well, I'm just in the middle, and that's just their way of getting out.
Right.
But, like, what we're talking about is discernment.
Yes, and wisdom.
Yeah. And, like, and I think everyone can recognize that, even when you talk about these two political platforms, that you have issues that are grouped together that have nothing to do with each other.
Well, and again, people can say, we didn't expect a political, this isn't our desire, but it is a desire is it forms your mentality.
Just be more discerning. I'm not saying be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, anything. Just be more discerning and make sure that you are pushing yourself to dialogue with the other side, because it will challenge you to grow.
Yeah.
What's so the worst really thing that can happen?
I don't know if we, again, digress, but to grow your mentality, you have to understand others, you have to pay attention, you have to listen, and you have to study and learn. I often say this. I went to college. From college, my bachelor's, I think I learned how to learn.
Yeah.
And then I got out of college. I did not read for 2 years.
Yep.
I was so done with reading. And it's so funny now, because we have such an extensive library as a family. But
read a lot.
Right now, 2 years out of college, someone said to me, hey, Pete, you need to read this book. And it was Hunt for Red October. I read Hunt for Red October. Obviously, folks, for those of you who know, this is kind of a fiction docudrama, kind of like trying to mix, you know, Cold War stuff. But then from there, I started to read that, and then I started to read leadership books, and to this date, I bet you I've read 100 leadership books. I have not kept track of them.
Oh, probably more than that. Yeah.
And I look back at it, and then what you just said challenged me. It's like, but I don't want to read the same authors all the time, and I don't want to read the same things, and there are books out there that I've stretched myself with, but it's imperative that you're intentional and you invest, and we've invested in books.
Yeah. Well, and so there's a couple things there. They have done studies. You do 100% people who read on paper tend to retain more information.
Yeah.
Because even hyperlinks that take you to footnotes are distracting in the middle of, like, a Kindle version. So that's a whole nother discussion. The kind of what we're talking about here, and I think this is something that people miss, and is that when you talk about concentration, when you talk about empathy, when you talk about discernment, when you talk about understanding, people don't realize that these are muscles. I think the clearest mental model we can have of these is that they are muscles. They are things that you can develop, and they're things that you can lose. I've felt that tremendously when I was going through a tough time. I had lost my job. I was trying to figure out what to do next, and I kind of saturated myself with media and video games because I just didn't know what to do. I lost powers of concentration that have only started to come back as I pushed myself to read more, and it hurt. I remember how hard it was to start reading again after doing that. You know, I mean, and so sometimes like fiction can be a good gateway into, and that it's, you know, it's interesting how it parallels your story. But that's even like fiction trains a different muscle than nonfiction does. And one of the things, I grew up with a history teacher who was like, I only read nonfiction books because fiction books are a waste of time. And without being too harsh, he was a man who struggled with empathy. And that's like one of the things that when you talk about empathy, when you, even when you read a biography, you have to be, and you should be, concerned with the facts. When you read a novel, you are able to abide in the point of view of the other person, of the author, of what they're trying to communicate. And that does, that actually does real things for you. So fiction is useful, but obviously, like in terms of understanding and discernment, history, history's big. I mean, even when we talk about personal formation, being historically conscious, I used to think it was just about not repeating mistakes, but you start to understand who you are and why you do what you do. And sometimes you realize the reason I do things is wrong. And sometimes you realize the reason I do things is right, but for a deeper reason. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, all, obviously I'm going to fight for philosophy and theology. That's like, but those things, even going back to our last episode, we've kind of explained those. But every single genre has its purpose, and they develop different muscles that you need as you develop yourself from an educational, from a mental standpoint.
So even as you're saying that and growing yourself mentally, it's important. I just reading, and by the way, another shameless plug for something we don't get any revenue for, but there's a great app called Pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have Pocket. I read, it gives you some of the best articles coming out and magazines, and they compile them, and then you get to read them. And so I read two Pocket articles, and it began to say the importance of, and this goes back to mentality again, different types of writing. In other words, journaling, creative writing, and there were a couple other genres of that,
yeah.
And how that stimulates your mind and helps you to reflect and think and thus grow your mind. And just, we're talking about growth spiritually. Now we're talking about growth mentally. We've used the words intentional and invest. I loved what I learned in college because I mainly learned to learn. I love that I have my master's because I get an extra $4,000 every year. I joke about that all the time. But I learned a lot from my master's of ministry. But I have learned way more by reading, listening, going to seminars. The privilege I had to coach basketball, when I was coaching basketball, I read one book a month on basketball. Some would say, and sometimes, yes, it was repetitive, things I even read, but I was enhancing and reflecting and reinforcing my mind. And then now, if I was to do that, you know, for a basketball coach, you can just go to YouTube.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And there's some truth to seeing it in action.
Yeah. I think that's great because we've hit books really hard for obvious reasons because we have a problem.
Yeah, well,
we have an addiction, right?
Yeah.
But different skills, you know, work in different ways, and I think there's nothing wrong with learning from podcasts, learning from YouTube videos. You need to find one what works for you, but that doesn't mean so there's two different ways. You can tell the difference between when you're really learning and when you're just doing what's comfortable. And so find not what works for you in terms of like, oh, this is what makes me feel comfortable in this space. Find what like, oh, this is what pushes me and I'm moving, I'm growing in this space.
Okay, interesting. But the reason I say to you interesting is, you know, anytime you get stretched out of your comfort zone, you learn and you grow. And we talked about this in our, this is the truth, folks, our very first episode, but it didn't get recorded. You were talking about how the first time we ever taught or ever preached.
Right.
And how it just probably was horrific. But, you know, you don't, you don't really start to know the Bible until you start to teach it or share it with somebody else.
Or at least, and this is where I love what you said earlier, writing it down. Forcing yourself to communicate it in some fashion, even if it's just for your own eyes, putting it into your own words, forces learning. And so I think both of those things are just great. You have any closing comments as we...
I just want to go back to you. And I, of course, it's important to reinforce, but we don't want to be redundant, but I do want to reinforce. Folks, be intentional of what you are putting into your mind. You know, PJ just learned, and so proud of him for this, taught himself how to code. Well, what you put in is what's going to come out.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's imperative that you are stretching yourself, but you're filtering that. So be intentional and then invest. Whatever areas you want to grow in, don't be afraid to make that investment. I've had some privilege now to do some things impacting leaders, and it's not that I'm that great a leader, I think. I have learned to lead, and I've educated myself in it, and it's just important.
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Been a pleasure. Yeah.